From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's jumped awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
They said he would overwhelm this field, and he certainly has. Accelerate for John Sadler, and Joel Rosario gets his fourth. Accelerate in the Classic.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergadot, Wonder Woman herself. Demolishes them in the Queen's Plate.
A furlong to run in this wet Whitney. It is Diversify. Oh, and he's got a five-length lead here. Mind Your Biscuits and Discreet Lover will battle for second. Diversify has won the Whitney in style.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
48 days, 4 hours, and 23 minutes. That's all that remains to the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Churchill Downs in early November. Good morning and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Thanks for getting up early with us on this Saturday morning. Happy to have you with us as we kick things off on another very busy program. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. And looking forward to the next couple of hours. A lot to talk about here this morning. You have all the Win in Your End Breeders' Cup Challenge races taking place this weekend. 10 in total for 8 different Breeders' Cup divisions. You have 6 today, 4 tomorrow, and the eyes of the racing world really starting to zero in on those world championships, JT.
Yeah, it's that time of year, starting to get closer by the minute and looking forward to it. Yeah,
but second. Wait, do you want to know how close we're getting now?
Absolutely. I need to know the exact count.
Now we are, well, actually, yeah, we're 48 days, 4 hours, and now 22 minutes away.
Won't be long till we're climbing the stairs at Churchill.
That's right, too. Yeah, looking forward to that coverage. We'll bring you every Breeders' Cup race here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and this is the 12th consecutive year that we are proud to say we are the official radio network of the Breeders' Cup World Championships, and really excited to get over there and bring you that coverage. But before we get to that point, a lot to talk about, a lot of big races that we're still going to have for you here on the network over the course of the next 48 days. And Jude, I mentioned this is a busy show. Jim Lawson is going to join us right around 8:12 Eastern time, so about 10 minutes from right now. Jim is the CEO of Woodbine, and what a huge weekend they have north of the border. You have 4 graded stakes races on this afternoon's program. 2 of those are grade ones, and tomorrow, 2 more grade ones, and both of those Win in Your In races tomorrow afternoon. So a massive weekend at Woodbine.
Yeah, it's a great card today. Really looking forward to those races. Tomorrow's 2 2-year-old races are very interesting, and as we head towards the Breeders' Cup, these are races that everybody needs to pay attention to and watch and learn about these horses if you haven't already heard of them.
Trainer Catherine Day Phillips is going to be busy at Woodbine. She has a horse running in today's Woodbine Mile, a Win and You're In for the Breeders' Cup Mile division, and she has a horse running tomorrow in the Natalma Stakes, which is a Win and You're In for, I believe it's for the Juvenile Fillies Turf.
Right.
So she'll try to punch her ticket with maybe both of those horses, and Catherine took the time to visit with me yesterday. You're going to hear that interview coming up at 8:35 Eastern time. And then young Drayden Van Dyke, 24 years old, coming off that huge Del Mar meet where he was the leading rider. He's had a heck of a meet at Kentucky Downs that just concluded. He's riding today at Churchill. He's going to be with us 9:00 Eastern time.
Yeah, he just had a birthday too, so he's had a big week.
Yeah, 5 days ago. Yeah. 5 days ago, September 10th, turned 24, and a kid who is really riding very, very well right now. And he has a couple of mounts in those stakes races at Churchill today. You've got the Pocahontas and the Iroquois.
Yeah, you can't leave him out of anything the way he's riding. It's an amazing run he's on right now. I think it was actually 4 days, 7 hours, and 22 minutes ago that he had a birthday.
That you might be right.
I think so.
The backtrack.
I don't have a counter for it, but it's around that area.
Right? And if you haven't heard, Toby Keith is going to be on this program this morning. We have shouted it from the rooftops over the course of the past 24 hours or so. Country music superstar Toby Keith was in town for a concert here at Rupp Arena on September 2nd, and I had the privilege to sit down with him for about 30 minutes, and you're going to hear that entire interview with Toby Keith talking about not just his music, but his racing and his breeding operation. He races under the name of Dream Walkin' Farms, and he has his farm in Oklahoma by the same name. And looking forward to bringing you that interview in its entirety. We're going to air it in two different parts for you later this morning. It will start at 9:20 Eastern time, and really excited for that.
Yeah, it's going to be great to listen to. He's such a cool guy. I enjoy talking to him at the sales.
Yeah, just a regular guy, too.
Yeah.
Which is what I love about it. Yeah, he's a celebrity. He's got that fame. You'd never know it to talk to him. He's just a regular guy walking around with a ball cap on, and you know, just like any of us.
Yeah. Well, some of us. Well,
he didn't have a Pittsburgh Steeler cap on, so he's not quite like me.
Thank God.
So, all right.
Couldn't even beat the Browns.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. They didn't even deserve a tie. But anyway, that's a whole other story. All right. Here's our poll question for this morning. You can weigh in on our Twitter feed at HRRN. You can do it on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And I guess sticking with the celebrity theme of this morning's show, if you could meet one celebrity involved with horse racing, who would it be? And we're going to give you three choices and then a fourth choice, which will be the other category. And we want you to specify if you choose that one. Your three choices: Toby Keith, Bobby Flay, Bo Derek, or other. And the vote's coming in fast and furious. Currently, Bobby Flay and Bo Derek are tied at 22%. Those, in terms of the three choices that we gave you, those are the leaders. The other category, though, 39% of the vote coming in saying, well, none of the top three. And we have a vote for Rick Pitino. We have another vote for Jim Rome. So it's early. The voting is early. But weigh in. Let us know. Who would you like to meet? I think Joe Torre would be great to meet.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Well, we've met Joe Torre. Well,
you have. I've never met him. No.
Yeah.
I think he'd be cool.
He's a great guy. I mean, and just, yeah, he's fantastic. You wouldn't want to miss that if you had a chance.
You look through the list of Breeders' Cup ambassadors, too. And, you know, many of these celebrities, top names, Kate Upton, for example. You know, there's Kate Upton. We told you Bobby Flay, Elizabeth Banks. Chris Harrison, another name on that list, Michael Owen, Carson Kressley, Rob Dierdick? Yeah, did I get it right? Professional skateboarder. So there's, you know, a whole slew of people. Gary Player. Gary Player is somebody I had the chance to sit down with and interview a few years back when he was at Keeneland, and that was an absolute delight. What a great guy he is.
Yeah, there's a lot of people involved in our sport, and most of them are pretty cool. They won't big league you if you talk about horses.
You used to train for Kevin Costner.
Yes.
When he was involved.
Yeah. I had a few.
He's not in the business anymore, though, is he?
No. He only had the one horse with me.
Yeah.
That was it. He enjoyed that horse and never got back in.
Kevin was involved. George Strait was involved for a while.
Absolutely.
With his ocean
He was involved
properties.
In a big way for a long time.
Yeah.
But what happens is these guys, accountants, guys and gals, they tell them, oh, you can't make any money. So get out.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not a big accountant fan.
Maybe Richie Sambora is somebody that people would want to meet. He plays the national anthem at the Breeders' Cup quite often.
Yeah.
He's a big horse racing guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so anyways, let us know if you can meet Pete Rose. Rob Murphy.
Great guy, Rob Murphy.
He's high on my list. Yeah. If you can meet one celebrity involved with horse racing, who would it be? Toby Keith, Bobby Flay, Bo Derek, or other? And if you choose other, please specify and let us know who that might be. We'll go ahead and pass along those results as we move throughout the show. All right, as we told you, very busy program. We're going to kick it off with Jim Lawson from Woodbine. He joins us next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Brody's Cause, a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating Grade 1 winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamardal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Delta Prince coming under a bit of a ride now. Ring Weekend to the outside. They corner, and Shakamats in front, out by almost a length and a half. Here comes Delta Prince coming home fairly strongly, and Delta Prince shoots for the lead on the outside. Behind them, Conquest Panthera starting to explode, but ran about. Delta Prince the leader, Shakamat in second, then Caribou Club and Conquest Panthera, and it is Delta Prince in the King Eddie, and Delta Prince and Javier Castellano by over a length, Shakamat a game second, Conquest Panthera third, and Caribou Club was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Robert Geller with the call of the King Edward Stakes at Woodbine on June 30th. It was a race you heard right here with us as part of our Queen's Plate coverage. And Delta Prince, so impressive that afternoon, just ran a hole in the wind. Back again in this afternoon's Grade 1 Woodbine Mile, trying to go ahead and punch a ticket to the Breeders' Cup Mile, if indeed he can get the victory in that race later today. And joining us now is the man who is helping to put all the pieces together there, the man who runs the show. He is Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson, and he's with us now here on HRRN. Jim, welcome.
Good morning, guys. Big weekend here north of the border.
Boy, you're not kidding. You look at all those graded stakes and the win in your ends and the grade ones. Unbelievable, Jim.
Yeah, it's exciting. I tried to do a little prep to get ready for you guys, and I wouldn't even know where to start, so I'll let you guys take the lead. But, boy, we've got a great card today and another one tomorrow. Big fields, great trainers, great jockeys, and great horses from all over the world.
apology to you. I know you're a big country music fan, and I wasn't able to put you on the marquee and put your name in lights this week. I couldn't give you top billing because country music Toby. Superstar Toby Keith is coming on later in the program here, and so I couldn't give you top billing. I'm sorry.
I get that. I'm a fan of Toby, so I'll look forward to listening to him.
Well, listen, let's start with today and talk about, first of all, you know, the card that you've put together today and those big stakes races, and then that relationship with the Breeders' Cup and that winning your in race with the Rico Woodbine Mile.
Well, it's a big day. I mean, we have 12 races carded, and as you mentioned, we've got the Rico goes as the eighth race, and we can go into that a little bit, followed up by the Grade 2 Canadian. We've got some a special treat with Canadian Horse of the Year, Pink Lloyd, going in the Bold Venture in the 10th race, a sprint race, and then the Northern Dancer, which is going to be a great rivalry between Johnny Bear and Hawkbill from last year. So there's just so much going on today. It's you know, with all these top horses, as I said, come some top jockeys. And when you look at the mile, you know, Rosario, Bajarno, Castellano, Ortiz, you know, the De Silva from Woodbine, who just won his 2000th. And across the pond, we got Jamie Spencer and Gerald Moss coming. It's just exciting.
Yeah, it's a tremendously balanced card. You've got great horses coming from Europe, Lord Glitters and Hawkbill, and you've got the legend Pink Lloyd, the Woodbine legend. I mean, amazing horse. And then the filly race with Daring Duchess, New Money Honey. There's a little something for everybody today, and then tomorrow featuring the 2 year olds. That's going to be a lot of fun too.
Yeah, and a lot of big trainers and big jockeys too. It's interesting. Cassie's got 15 horses running over the 2 days. And Chad Brown's got a couple of bullets, you know, in the races tomorrow, the Win and You're In races, and it's just a star-studded lineup. Those Win and You're In races tomorrow, as you've seen, you know, 13 in the Natalma, which is really one of my favorite races of the year. To see the 2-year-old fillies, and got 13 euros, 3 euros. We've got 14 horses in the Natalma. We had 15. We've got one on the also eligible list. The race will go with 14, but it's just going to be another outstanding race. It's been a Grade 1 race and for a few years now, and deserves that status. And of course, the Summer Stakes has stepped up, but now is a Grade 1, it's got a star-studded field. With Cassie's got 3 in the Summer Stakes. Chad Brown, as I mentioned, has what he believes is a star with that Fog of War. So those races tomorrow are great races, and I can't wait for them. But we have a big day today too, so we'll take this weekend all in stride at Woodbine. It's exciting.
Yeah, one graded stakes race at a time, and there are plenty of those at Woodbine this weekend. Catherine Day Phillips, Canadian-born trainer, she's locally based. She's going to be busy. Our listeners are going to hear from her coming up at 8:35 Eastern, and she joined me yesterday to talk about Mr. Haverkamp, who goes in the Woodbine Mile today, and also look ahead to tomorrow's Natalma Stakes with her exciting 2-year-old filly. But Mr. Haverkamp, Canadian bred, carrying the banner, I guess, for Canada, if you want to look at it like that, because he's a perfect 4-for-4 on that Woodbine turf course. Eurico De Silva, who you mentioned earlier, Jim, he's aboard. A lot of things to like about a horse like Mr. Haverkamp.
Yeah, listen, he's been consistent. He's from the first time you saw him, you knew he was talented, and a local favorite in a lot of ways. I mean, Catherine, please say hello. She's very popular. Eurico, everyone loves Eurico here, and this horse has become a real favorite. The sire Court Vision won this race in 2010. Haverkamp's a force, and I think he'll be competitive with these invaders, and we'll get a lot of support, and we'll be a real local hero.
How does having these win in your in races help the racing department get these fields?
Well, I was down at Keeneland this week for a couple of days, and the entries had just come out on Wednesday, and I was having that discussion with the guys down there, and they said, "Wow, you guys really pulled something off for this weekend." And I said that exact point. I said, "No, the winning you're in really help. We've got a great relationship with the Breeders' Cup people, and putting on the good racing that we are just helps us get these winning you're in races." And of course, we added the Highlander on Queen's Plate Day, and it's attractive to these people, especially these. You see how popular it is with the 2-year-olds. Coming up here, those, you know, 13 horses in one and 14 in the other, and it's a real plus to have them, and we're thankful for it, and the good news is we've delivered with some outstanding fields for the winning you're in.
Yeah, and some great wagering opportunities too. The $50,000 guaranteed early pick 5 on today's program. You have a $100,000 early pick 4, $200,000 guaranteed late pick 4 and pick 5. And then that cross-country wager with Belmont Park, which includes races 8 and 9 from Belmont and races 8 and 9 from Woodbine. That's exciting too, Jim. Well done.
Yeah, no, it's just hopefully a sign of things to come. The racing industry has to work hard for just internationally and cooperate with each other. And when we can pull together and cooperate with NYRA like we have to have that kind of pick 4, it's a great thing. So we're excited about it. We're hoping to continue and just expand that type of program because it gets everyone involved. It gets our local wagers involved in the NYRA product and vice versa. And we've been working at that, and it helps both organizations.
Yeah,
the thing I'll add, when you're talking about wagering, don't forget the jackpot high 5 today.
Yep.
Mandatory payout. It has a carryover of about $630,000. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but our experience is that'll 2.5-3 times the carryover will go into the pool. So we're looking at a mandatory payout on that jackpot high 5 today, $2.5-3 million, and that could be life changing for a wager. So it'll be popular today, and that's an exciting part of the card today. And that goes in the twelfth race today.
Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, you mentioned the national and international cooperation and how important that is for the future of the sport. You had a chance earlier this year to make a trip to Japan, and this afternoon's Grade 2 Canadian Stakes is presented by the Japan Racing Association. You were telling me when we were there to broadcast the Queen's Plate that was such an enjoyable visit for you and that they treated you like gold. Are you hosting some of the Japan Racing Association folks this afternoon?
Yes, we certainly are. And as you said, they treated me very well when I was over there, and we're going to do the same for them, of course. We have a developing relationship with the JRA, and today they are sponsoring the Canadian Stakes today, and they'll be with us all day, and it's exciting. It's important, this relationship. And all the relationships across the world in horse racing are so important to the sport. So we're looking forward to hosting the JRA today. They will present the trophy in the Grade 2 Canadian Stakes, which goes as the ninth race. New money honey for Chad and Castellano riding. She's won about $1.4 million, so that's going to be an exciting race. And we're thrilled to have the Japanese being part of it. You're up here. We've got Japanese flags flying all over the Woodbine grounds today, so it'd be a very welcoming and fun day hosting them.
Yeah, it's always great when you get that participation from other countries and make them aware of all the things that you guys offer. You have a world-class facility, one of the best places to train horses in North America. And I'm sure they're going to appreciate their time there.
Yeah, I think that it'll be interesting for them. With the new turf course going in and the Tapeta surface, I mean, they have such outstanding facilities in Japan that I think they'll appreciate what we've been able to do here. And so I think it'll be an interesting trip for them, and we hope to do more business with them, including in particular getting some Japanese trainers and horses to think about running over here in these big races.
Yeah, they've done a tremendous job at Woodbine. We promise you, if you make a trip there, you will not regret it. It is one of our all-time favorite trips of the year and one of our favorite tracks to go to as well. They do a great job, and part of that is the customer service and the way that you're treated when you attend Woodbine. They go above and beyond, and Jim, that's a credit to you. It's a credit to the team and everything in that culture that you've been able to establish at Woodbine.
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying it's a credit to the team. We pride ourselves, firstly, in terms of our brand promise. Our brand promise is as our food and beverage, our food experience. There's nowhere better in the world to enjoy food at a racetrack than at Woodbine. And that culture carries on down throughout the organization Our backstretch people are hospitable. There's nothing nothing too big that you could ask for from our hosts on the backstretch side, and looking after trainers and owners. And we know we're in a competitive market here in Toronto, very competitive smart sports market, and the way to do it is just to give five-star service and create those winning experiences for the customers and for the horsemen. And we work very hard at it, and thank you for saying that.
All right, Jim, enough of this horse racing talk. Before we let you go, who's the favorite to win the Grey Cup?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know how closely you follow up, but the Hamilton Tiger Cats are coming on strong. they're playing Calgary today, and Calgary has been the leader of the games in Hamilton. So that could be a preview for the Grey Cup, which is in Edmonton this year. We'll see. It's getting exciting as the year goes on. Edmonton out west is also playing well. I hate to predict one, but I do believe that we're gearing up for an exciting fall in the Canadian Football League.
It'll be a big finish.
Stretch run. It's good.
It's a great time to be a Canadian sports fan, and make sure you check out those races at Woodbine this weekend, today, tomorrow. The win in your end's going to be a massive weekend of racing north of the border. Jim, as always, appreciate the visit, my friend, and appreciate all the support you give to us here on the network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We will get that to you, and thanks for being with us.
Guys, right back at you. Love being on. Thanks for your supporting our Woodbine product, and look forward to talking more in the future. All right. All the best this weekend.
Keep it rolling. Jim Lawson, Woodbine CEO, with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Well, that brings us to our Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington, right on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. Following this segment, you're going to hear my interview with Catherine Day Phillips talking about her horses in the Woodbine Mile and in tomorrow's Natalma Stakes. Stay with us. We're back with more right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This is the story of a thoroughbred who outdid his sire and then some in winning the Belmont Stakes, and in so doing wrapped up racing's Triple Crown in the same year the Boston Red Sox won the American League pennant with the likes of the Splendid Splinter and the Little Professor, Ted Williams, and Dominic DiMaggio, for those of you among the uninitiated. Even most wary, hard-bitten skeptics of this particular thoroughbred had to finally admit that there was nothing in sight to give him a tussle after a relatively easy win in the Belmont Stakes to nail down the final leg of the Triple Crown, only the seventh horse in its revered history to have done so. The Belmont run on Saturday, June 1st of that year, removed the last obstacle to his complete domination of his age division. He won the 12-furlong affair with ease under a supremely confident ride by Warren Mertens, and if there were any doubts or shreds of excuse by his opponents, the arguability of them dissipated like an early morning fog in the glowing sun. This was some kind of racehorse indeed. You know, in racing, nothing surprises. The three-year-old campaign of the horse nicknamed the Clubfoot Comet was indeed poignantly illustrative of that axiom. He had been accorded not the slightest consideration by the supposedly in-the-knowers in regard to his chances in the Derby. But he cantered off to a virtually uncontested eighth-length score in an eye-popping performance. 1 week later, he'd overcome some bad racing luck and some questionable handling as well, and coming home a winner in a run for the black-eyed Susans, the Preakness, by a bare neck. The surprising thing was that his performance in the latter event had been so singularly unimpressive to many, he was regarded only moderately at best as a candidate to culminate his campaign by winning the Belmont. Well, all he did was dispel any last vestiges of dubiousness by racing to a victory that, in its own way, was even more decisive than his Derby score. Old-timers and youthful aficionados alike now realized, sit up and take notice time for this horse. If this great thoroughbred had any shortcoming, it was that aesthetically he was nondescript at best. Many often said the best thing about him was the caliber of his competition. That was as blatantly demeaning as tell a young lady she has as much class as a telephone pole. He never looked pretty. He was blue-collar, lunch-pail, punch-the-clock type, who knew what he had to do, and he did it. He wasn't the object of adulation and excitement because of his appearance. No, indeed. That came as a result of his ability to do what he was born to do, run. And run he could. Oh, yes, his competitors were not noteworthy, to be sure. Not because they actually were, but rather because he made them look that way by his ability. His sire, Bull Venture, bowed a tendon after the Preakness and could not win the final leg of the Triple Crown, although he was as game as a thoroughbred could be. This horse, with a slight disfigurement in one of his forelegs, had no trouble, other than the aforementioned problems in the Preakness, in nailing down each of racing's jewels of the Triple Crown. His sire, Bull Venture, had won a marvelous Derby in closing from 11th place to whip Brevity, and then had barely outlasted Granville to win the Preakness. Although there may not have been any Brevities or Granvilles to challenge our subject for this piece, there can be absolutely no denying he outdid his illustrious sire and joined Sir Barton, Gallant Fox, Omaha, War Admiral, Whirlaway, and Count Fleet as members of a very select company, Triple Crown winners. That marvelous thoroughbred who went on to become an outstanding handicap horse was none other than Assault, affectionately named the Clubfoot Comet.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
All right, we got a brand new wheats up here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two? Two grain bread. Let me get a ticker for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three? Three grain sub bread. Three is not enough. How about four? Four grain. Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's still a no. Let's go five, five, six, seven, eight. Want to make it rain? Eight grain. Jimmy John's still a no. All right, what about nine? Nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new nine grain wheat subs. Going once, going twice, sold.
Try our new nine grain wheat sub. Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
Ghost Sapper's best son, multiple grade one winner, Shaman Ghost, will stand the 2019 breeding season at Edina Springs, Kentucky. A champion and winner of the $1 million Queens Plate at three, Shaman Ghost went on to capture historic grade ones on both coasts, catapulting him into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame in 2018.
Shaman Ghost! He has won the Woodward!
Midnight Storm leading halfway down the stretch in the big cap. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm!
Shaman Ghost was bred and raced by Frank Stronach and achieved repeated success at the highest level, while earning more than $3.8 million in his career. Additional graded wins by Shaman Ghost include the Brooklyn Invitational, Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome when second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Shaman Ghost, backed by the strength of Adina, standing in Kentucky in 2019 and available for inspection now.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
This is David Cohen.
This is Gary Siaka.
This is David Jacobson.
This is Gary Gallo.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
There's La Sardin in front, trying to take the gate to wire as they come down towards the home stretch in the play the king. Boreal Spirit second, Sweet Little Man third. Holding goal called up on the outside. Mr. Havercamp still needs a run. Didn't get it. And down the outside vanished. Now Mr. Havercamp's got a split. La Sardin being attacked by Mr. Havercamp. And down the outside vanishes running on well. It's Mr. Havercamp racing clear. Vanish down the outside. Mr. Havercamp in front of Vanish. And then Sweet Little Man. And it's Mr. Havercamp going away to win. Mr. Havercamp onto the Woodbine Mile next. Mr. Havercamp first. Vanish in the photo for place with Sweet Little Man. And then holding gold.
Baron and Pontiff, that's Mike Penna and Jude Feld back with you. On the Equine Forum, Robert Geller bringing them home in the Play the King Stakes at Woodbine on August 25th. Mr. Havercamp defeating Vanish that afternoon. They're going to get a rematch later today in the Grade 1 Woodbine Mile. Mr. Havercamp trained by Canadian-born Catherine Day Phillips, and yesterday Catherine was kind enough to spend a few minutes talking about Mr. Havercamp and look ahead to tomorrow's Natama Stakes. Trainer Catherine Day Phillips is going to be busy over the weekend. She has a couple of horses trying to win their way to the Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs in early November. She'll send out Mr. Havercamp in the Woodbine Mile and Art Elena in Sunday's Natama Stakes. And both of those horses, Canadian bred, and both coming into the race off of a victory, which is always a good thing. And Catherine, nice enough to spend a little visit with us here this morning. Catherine, I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Always nice to come on the show.
Yeah, and excited to see these two horses strut their stuff and do their thing. Let's start with Mr. Havercamp. This is a horse that is a son of 2011 Breeders' Cup Mile winner Court Vision, who, by the way, did that at Churchill Downs, so maybe a good omen for you there. Start by looking back on that last victory by Mr. Havercamp in the Play the King Stakes.
Well, the Play the King came up with quite soft going, which is something that he had not encountered yet. So I guess we were a little curious and maybe a little nervous to see how he would handle it. But, you know, he seemed to handle it well, and he didn't really seem to care what he was running on. He was, you know, he was quite determined down the lane, and he showed a lot of grit and determination, which was great to see.
Yeah, he doesn't often run a bad race. He's 6-for-9 lifetime. He's 4-for-4. Over the Woodbine turf course. How big is that, or is it an advantage to have a horse like this that can handle that turf course and, you know, kind of gets to play this game on their home court, so to speak?
Well, I think it's, you know, for him, he's been in his own stall. He's been in his own, you know, environment all week or all year, really. But, you know, for some of the horses that have had to ship in, they've had the challenge of flying or perhaps, a long ship and dealing with, you know, completely different set of circumstances than they're normally used to. So it is a big advantage.
Yeah. What is it about this horse, Catherine, that makes you feel like he fits at this particular level with these horses?
I think he's just, you know, he's very cool headed and he seems to really enjoy running and just has a lot of courage when it comes to actually racing. You know, he's been right with these horses, you know, even in his third start of his life last year. You know, he was right with Voodoo Song and Yoshida, you know, right there with really not a great trip. So, you know, I think that he's, you know, and again, he was right there again with Voodoo Song and when he was at Belmont. So I think he's, you know, he's shown, even not in ideal circumstances, that he's, you know, that he's with those horses, and hopefully with the advantage of his own home court, that his own home court, that he'll be right there.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, because he has been competitive when you've shipped him around the country, in particular Saratoga, Belmont. He's made some visits there, but as we mentioned, he's 4-for-4 at Woodbine. Is he a better horse when he's at home at Woodbine?
I don't know. That's hard to say. You know, I think he seems to travel very well, but he, you know, he did show a bit of greenness in both of his races in New York when he was away, where he doesn't seem to do that. At Woodbine, you know, he just seems to enjoy the course, and so it's, you know, with the Woodbine Mile in our backyard, it's logical that to step up, and that here's a good place to do it.
You've had a lot of luck with the owners too, Sean and Dorothy Fitzhenry. It's been a nice ride with them. Tell me a little bit about them and that relationship.
Oh, they're fabulous. They've been with us for, you know, for a number of years, and, you know, have come up with, originally, you know, they sell or put all of their horses through auction or through Keeneland, and they you know, initially they kept the horses that really didn't sell or didn't get a bid, and, you know, over the years their quality of horses has gone up, and, you know, their standard of what they're breeding has increased, and they've enjoyed running, and they've decided to keep a little more of what they've, you know, some of the horses are, you know, put a little higher price. So, you know, Dixie Moon was, you know, 150,000 RNA. Mr. Haverkamp was only a $19,000 RNA, but he was, you know, he was still put out there and at auction, and Sean puts his reserves on, and he, you know, he sticks by them. So, you know, he's enjoying racing, but I think it's great to see his whole level of breeding program improved at the same time.
A $19,000 RNA, and here he is, a winner of 6 of 9 races, a graded stakes winner, and earnings of $346,000. Put that into perspective, Catherine. How rare is that?
I don't know. It seems like it, as he's developed, it seems like he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He didn't know he was an RNA for $19,000, but he, you know, he's, as a three-year-old, you know, from his three-year-old year on, he showed a lot of class, and, you know, he looks like a proper horse. You know, he looks like a horse that should be, you know, at Saratoga. When we were running and getting ready for the Queen's Plate 2 years ago, or last year, we had two other horses getting ready, Guy Caballero and Watch Me Strut. And Mr. Haverkamp looked like a different animal than those two. I mean, he was a stronger, you know, shinier, more muscled. And he reminded me of Jambalaya from the, you know, from that point on. And so when he won his first start, immediately, you know, the Saranac, which Jambalaya had won, came to mind. And he's just been in a bit of a different, you know, different class than most of our barn or most of our other horses.
How cool would it be to win the Woodbine Mile with a Canadian bred?
Well, and a homebred too. It would be, you know, very, very exciting. It's there's three flagpoles at Woodbine, and one is the Queen's Plate, one is the Woodbine Mile, and one is the International. So I keep staring at the middle one for the Woodbine Mile and envisioning Sean and Dorothy Fitzhenry's yellow and black silks up on them. So I think that would be wonderful to see.
Well, not only does Mr. Haverkamp have a pedigree that says he can win the Breeders' Cup Mile at Churchill Downs, being by Court Vision, you have a pedigree that says that Woodbine Mile victory is coming, and maybe it's this year. Your dad, Jim Day, won the race twice. He did it in 91 with Dance Smartly, did it in 95 with Peaks and Valleys. Do you remember those 2 days?
I do. I remember Dance Smartly very well. I was at university at the time, but I remember the race well. I think it was the Molson Million at the time, and it was a very exciting day.
Yeah, very special indeed. And then we know Peaks and Valleys went on to do some really good things too, even beyond that victory. Really special horse, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he was outstanding, and he was very talented right from the get-go.
All right, well, that's the Woodbine Mile on Saturday. By the way, visiting with trainer Catherine Day Phillips here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. On Sunday, you'll turn your attention to the two-year-old girls, and one in particular, that's Artelena, who is going to go in the Grade 1 Natama, which is race 7 on Sunday. That's a mile on the turf. And here's a filly, Catherine, that comes out of that huge win in an off-the-turf race at 7/8 of a mile, 7 furlongs. She won by 11 and dominated that day. You had to be ultra impressed with the way she performed.
She did. She's a filly that just seems to perform. She's, you know, quiet and, you know, very, I don't know if reserved is the right word, but she's, you know, she's just a, maybe unassuming is a better word for her, but she's, you know, every time she breathes well. Every time she's asked to do anything, she does it, you know, she does it well. And then she sort of comes back to the barn and she's, you know, quite quiet and normal, kind of a normal filly again. And then she, you know, I almost wasn't even sure what to expect, even though she trained well into that race. And I mean, she was so impressive. It was, you know, great to see. But she's a really nice, very nice filly.
Yeah. When did you start to get the sense that she might be this type of caliber?
I guess, you know, her maiden race, we liked her going into the maiden race and, you know, came out of the maiden race thinking, well, you know, we do have a proper racehorse here. And, you know, she won so easily her maiden race, but it was hard to tell, you know, it's funny when they win so easily, whether, you know, how was the competition or, you know, how legitimate was the race. But she came back to breeze on the turf last weekend, and she had a tremendous breeze on the turf, which I think gave us a lot of confidence, or gives us a lot of confidence going into Sunday that she'll give a good race.
You're going to give a leg up to jockey Eurico da Silva on Artelena. He's the only jockey that's ever ridden her. He's also going to be aboard Mr. Haverkamp in the Woodbine Mile for you on Saturday. You've had a lot of luck with Eurico. Why does he fit your program and what you're trying to do?
I have a tremendous amount of respect for Eurico, and he's, you know, he's part of our morning works. He, you know, every Saturday, Friday and Saturday, he's, you know, he will help breeze horses and, you know, young horses or horses that he's riding the following weekend. So he knows the horses well, and he's not afraid to share his opinion, which is good and bad. We sometimes get a little mad at each other, but he, you know, I think we work well together. I have a lot of, you know, respect for him, and he's, you know, he seems to get the horses to relax nicely, and they, you know, come with a run late. So that's, you know, what we can ask for.
What's the Catherine Day Phillips approach or philosophy to getting a horse ready to run in a big race like the Woodbine Mile, like the Natama? How do you bring them up to these races, and is it on a horse by horse basis?
I think probably fair to say it's a horse-to-horse basis, but I think, you know, getting them as healthy as they can be and, you know, feeling as confident as they can be. I think confidence is a huge thing for young horses, and, you know, being focused and, you know, and confident is really what we try to aim for, you know, whether it's schooling in the gate or schooling in the paddock, or, you know, to make sure there's no surprises for them when it comes to the big races. So that's what we really look for, just to have them a confident, happy horse.
You know, when you run at Woodbine like you do, and you run all over the country, certainly, Catherine, but you look at the names on the trainer side of things that are represented in that Natama Stakes on Sunday, and you see Hall of Famer Mark Cassie. Well, all he's done is win that race a record 7 times. You see Hall of Famer Roger Atfield, who's won it a couple of times. And then if that's not enough, you throw in an entry from Chad Brown and from Wesley Ward and from British trainer Charlie Appleby. Boy, you better have your running shoes on when you show up for a big race at Woodbine.
Are you trying to make me nervous?
Hey, I just want you to know you belong. I'm voting for you.
Okay, thank you. No, I mean, honestly, I've been so focused on the horses that I haven't really stopped to think about it like that. But now that you put it that way, that is quite an impressive lineup. But, you know, no, we've just been focusing on our horse and getting her there the best we can.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but you get to knock heads with Roger and with Mark on a pretty much a daily basis up there in Canada. And, you know, and every once in a while you do get a race like this where you have horses coming in from all over the world to compete because it is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup. But, you know, that for you, that has to be kind of neat, though, to know that, hey, my horses are right there with some of the most legendary names that we have in the sport.
Well, I think, yes. I mean, I'm proud of them and excited that they, you know, get a chance to compete and show that they are good. And that's exciting. Yeah, I haven't stopped to think about it too much. I've been really just focusing on the races, so to speak. But it is neat.
Well, I'm glad I could bring it up for you.
Yeah, thanks. Make me nervous too. Let's not care. Two more, one more sleep, and two more sleeps for the filly.
She's trainer Catherine Day Phillips, and again, she'll be very busy this weekend at Woodbine. Catherine, I know it's a busy morning for you, so I don't want to keep you any longer than I have to, but I want to wish you all the best this weekend, and as always, thank you for taking the time, and we'll look forward to hopefully seeing you down the road at the Breeders' Cup.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for having me on the show. Hopefully we'll be chatting again soon.
Yeah, all the best. I hope so, too. Catherine Day Phillips here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Huge run in this grade one.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. And Empire Maker yearlings averaged $400,000 at the Basic Tipton Saratoga sale.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Loom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Loom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Loom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Bakari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. Recent stars include Grade 1 La Troyenne winner Salty. The next group of top quality fillies from Bakari Bloodstock can be found at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale, including Hip Number 226, a Tappet filly out of Grade 1 winner My Conquistadori, Hip Number 505, a half-sister to Salty by American Pharaoh, and Hip Number 958, a half-sister to Millionaire Grade 1 winner Miss Temple City by Medaglia d'Oro. Don't miss the Bakari Bloodstock consignment at Keeneland September.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Insta Irma is making a big run, and she's coming on the far outside, so Storm the Hill and Pas de Souci. They're coming into deep stretch now. Insta Irma is putting in a big kick. She's coming up to Valadorna. These two going on from I'm Betty G. An eighth of a mile to go. Insta Irma and Drayden Van Dyke. Valadorna and Florent Giroux. These two tooth and nail, and it's a battle in the final 16th. Valadorna, Insta Irma. Insta Irma, Valadorna, Insta Irma. And it's a second stakes win for Baltus and Van Dyke at the meet. Valadorna second, Pas de Souci third, Storm the Hill finished fourth.
Young Drayden Van Dyke has been riding lights out over the past couple of months. The leading rider at Del Mar this summer and then coming to Kentucky Downs with a few victories in stakes races there. Just a tremendous run that he has been on. You're going to hear from the 24-year-old jockey coming up in just a few minutes. He's set to join us right around 9 o'clock Eastern, but getting set now for our Industry Star of the Week, presented by our good friend Stuart Morris. And Stuart's a guy that has had an awful lot of success on the bloodstock side of things. He offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation, and he's always... Jude, you know, one thing about Stuart, and you had a chance to talk to him last night when you stopped by the Spendthrift party at Spendthrift Farm, the cool thing about Stuart is he's always thanking the owners and the clients and the team. You know, he's always very appreciative of everything that his whole team and the owners have done
to help him be successful.
Yeah, he's a fantastic guy, and I was talking to him for a few minutes last night, and I told him how much I've enjoyed this segment that he kind of invented, and I think it's great to shine the light on people that are behind the scenes in racing. We all know the Bafferts and the Pletchers, and but who's behind the scenes pulling strings, doing great things for our sport?
One of those is Kyle Krupper, who is our industry star of the week for this Saturday morning. And Kyle, nice enough to spend a few minutes with us now here on the show. Kyle, first of all, congratulations. This is just the third week that we've been honoring people with this industry star of the week. So congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, talk a little bit about what you got going on and how you're helping the sport and helping the industry.
I have been a lifelong fan. You know, I mean, I'm third generation horseman. I mean, even my last name is associated with a piece of tack. Wrong end of the horse, but you know, I mean, we all got to start somewhere. So, you know, I mean, I've always wanted to, how do I say it, just help the sport any way I can. You know what I mean? The sport has always treated me good and put clothes on my back, food on my table. And I, you know, I mean, I'm in a situation now where I've got an opportunity to take on a rescue farm, and I'm more than blessed to do this and humble. You know, I mean, it's humbling to help these animals who have laid the groundwork for big horses. You know, I mean, without them, there wouldn't be these big races. So, I mean, any time I can help them in any way, and you know, keep them from ending up in a bad situation, is I'm beyond excited for it.
You're using your life experience to get these horses back on a good path, and talk about your farm and what's going on there.
So what we do is we try to rescue horses and get in front of them before they wind up in a bad situation from the track. So we get them to a farm in Louisiana that we have that we're working with down there, and they take them on. You know what I mean, kind of get them ready to come up here. So when I get them, it's kind of, you know, I mean, sort through them, see what we have, and try to move them on to their next spot in life. You know, if it be a trail horse, you know, to do shows, anything. I mean, it's anything we can do to help move them on and progress them on. Because, I mean, there's so much use for a horse, even after they're retired.
Kyle, you were working in a high-profile position and working around some pretty good horses, and you left all that behind to do this. How come?
I've always wanted to give back to the sport that's given me so much. I mean, it's not always easy when you go, you know, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be around huge horses. You know, I mean, Havre de Grey, Songbird, you know, I walk into a barn and there's, you know, I mean, all of Miss Pope's horses standing there. I'm like, oh my God, you know, and it was an unreal moment in my life. But to be able to step back and go, I'm at a spot in my life where I can go help others. Why not do it while you can? I mean, it's so somebody else, you know what I mean, can come in and go, I want to do that too. I mean, it's just to better our sport. The more we can better the sport, the better off we all are.
Kyle, how does it work? Can people contact you if they have a horse, or do you go out and find the horses?
They can contact us, or we have a Facebook. You can check us out at NTWO on Facebook, or and it's National Thoroughbred Welfare Organization, or NTWO.org.
Well, Kyle, keep up the great work. He's Kyle Krupper. He is this week's Industry Star of the Week, and this segment presented by our good friend Stuart Morris. Kyle, keep it rolling, my friend. Keep up the great work, and keep doing good things.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Great visit here, and always great to shine the spotlight on people like Kyle who are doing so much good for the sport of racing.
Yeah, it's fantastic what he's done, and imagine walking away from Mandy Pope's horses to take this on. A lot of people would want to be with the famous horses, but he's taken on the horses that are retired or injured and refurbishing them so they can have a new career.
Well, that segment, the brainchild of consigner Stuart Morris, when you're at the Keeneland September sale, make sure you stop by his barn and his consignment, check out his horses, and tell him that you heard the Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Our thanks to him for all of his support. All right, busy second half of the program. It includes young 24-year-old jockey Drayden Van Dyke and that 30-minute interview with country music superstar Toby Keith. It's all ahead. We're back with Hour 2 right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Robert Bruce, who's charged up to the lead. It's Robert Bruce. Robert Bruce has won the million.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Rolling on, right in the heart of the bluegrass. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, coming to you from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. 48 days, 3 hours, and now just 22 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Churchill Downs in early November. We'll be there as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup. The only place you'll hear it on radio is with us right here on HRRN. You can get more information and see a complete Road to the Breeders' Cup schedule on our website, horseracingradio.net. Want to remind you that if you missed any portion of the first half of the show or any of this show, simply head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast at your leisure. You can also do that on iTunes. And fun first half with Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine, and Catherine Day Phillips joining me to talk about her contenders in the big races at Woodbine this weekend. And what a weekend it is. 10 Breeders' Cup Challenge races for 8 different divisions taking place worldwide.
Yeah, it's a fantastic weekend of racing and really looking forward to it. Today's card at Woodbine at Churchill, just fabulous. And then looking forward to the 2-year-old races at Woodbine tomorrow as well.
And also threw out a poll question that you can weigh in on our Twitter feed at HRN. It's pretty simple. With legendary recording artist Toby Keith coming up in just a little bit, you're going to hear that 30-minute interview with Toby right around 9:20 Eastern time. If you could meet one celebrity involved with horse racing, who would it be? You can vote for Toby Keith, Bobby Flay, Bo Derek, and then the other category. And if you choose other, please specify. Let us know who it might be. Currently, the other category is slightly ahead of Bo Derek, who is taking it to the boys. She is the leader among the three choices that you have there. So good job, Bo. Holding her own.
Yeah.
She's a perfect 10.
That was too easy.
Yeah, I know. You notice I purposely left myself off of this list?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten a write-in vote yet either, by the way.
That was also wise.
Nobody has voted for the Baron. I actually can't blame him. I want to meet Drayden Van Dyke, and you're going to meet him right now because he's on the program with us. Drayden, welcome, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to the visit here this morning. And congratulations on all the success coming off of that huge meet at Del Mar where you were the leading rider, and then an outstanding meet at Kentucky Downs. Well done.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I had a really good run there for a little bit.
What's the secret, man? What's been going on?
The secret is fast horses. That's about it. I was riding good over there, and my agent, Brad Pagram, did a really fabulous job. So,
yeah, it's always good when you get the good mounts. But one thing I've noticed about you, and I haven't really seen this in a long time since Gary Stevens used to call me Mr. Feld, and that was a long time ago. You have such confidence. I mean, you ride like you're never going to lose a race. And you can see it when you're on the horse. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta put your horse in the race. Usually I try to put my horse in the best possible position to win. So if I do that, that's basically my job. If I do that, and basically the rest is up to the horse, you know. If I put the horse in the best possible spot, I mean, it's all up to the horse after that. So That's the main thing I try to do. And luckily, hopefully if I have the horse, when it comes down to running, usually I have a good chance to win.
So do you handicap the races beforehand and decide kind of where you want to be if it's a perfect world?
Yeah, I see what kind of speed's in the race, see if there's a few closers, and of course there'd be some tactical speed. So just kind of play it by ear and play the break and go from there.
This afternoon at Churchill Downs, Drayden, you're going to be aboard Synthesis in the Grade 3 Iroquois. It'll be the first time that you've been aboard the Son of First Samurai for trainer Keith DeSormo. When you're preparing to ride a horse that you've never been aboard, what's the preparation like?
Yeah, I went back and watched a few of his replays. And he seems like a horse that's wants to go two turns. He's been sprinting. I believe he's run four times, and they've all been sprints. So I'm looking forward to get on him. Keith does a fabulous job, and he knows what he's doing. He's a great horseman, so I think he's going to enjoy the two turns.
When you first started out, you rode a lot for Tom Proctor. I know I've known Tom for close to 40 years. He can be a little volatile. Did you have to deal with that ever?
Oh yeah, he was tough on me. Him and his brother Hap Proctor. They're tough on you, but it's kind of like a tough love situation with me anyway. You just gotta say yes, sir. You gotta go on your way. You gotta take what they're giving you, and can't take it personal. You gotta stay strong, and if you can handle it, you handle it. If not, then you're out. So, he truly cares about me, so I know that, and he knows what he's talking about most of the time, so I listen.
Yeah, Drayden Van Dyke with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, fresh off that Del Mar leading rider title, 42 wins. He finished 5 ahead of Flavian Pratt. Drayden, that's something we talk about with every race meet, the leading trainer, the leading jockey. What's it mean for a jockey to be the leading rider at a meet, especially one as prestigious as Del Mar?
Yeah, I mean, it's what every jockey, hopefully in their mind at the start of the meet is planning on doing is to be the leading rider. And to do that at Del Mar especially, it's an amazing thing to do for me. And that was me and my agent's goal at the beginning coming into Del Mar is to get leading rider. And we had a bunch of horses that we thought we could do it with. So, that's the goal. That should be the goal of any jockey going into a brand new meet. And that's going to be my goal going into Santa Anita meet as well. I can carry that over to Santa Anita.
Do you kind of develop a rivalry with the jockey that you're competing against? In this case, Flavian Pratt, and you kind of say, okay, if I'm going to get beat, I'm not letting that guy beat me in this race.
Oh yeah, down to the last couple of weeks at Del Mar, he was after me when I say like we're on the grass or something. He's on the outside of me. You can bet 9 times out of 10 that he's going to try his best to not let me out or try to make it tight on me to where I don't get out. But it's cool. It's like a, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it was really, really, really fun to do that with Flavian. I mean, he's my friend as well outside of the track, and we're both basically the same age. He's a little older than me, but and our agents they're kind of battling against each other and kind of give each other crap. So it's fun.
Derek Lawson. He's a character. I've known him a long time too,
and
he takes it very seriously. Flavian, he's a very competitive guy by nature, and you obviously are too. So that does have to be kind of fun, and it gives you another thing to think about while you're out there.
Yeah, it's I really enjoy it. It's fun.
Drayden, as part of that run at Del Mar, you had a magical day on Sunday, August 19th. You won 7 of the 10 races on the card, tying a record that was set by Victor Espinoza. Tell me about that day. Were you just in the zone? What was going on?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I thought I had at least two or three really solid chances to win, and I was really looking forward to ride Catapult for John Sadler that day in the stake. And yeah, I mean, I started off, I went my first mount, Tim Yak Team, and then I went another one, then I won another one. That's 3 in a row. I mean, when you win races in a row like that, you get in the zone, and I mean, your confidence level is through the roof already. I mean, you won your first 3 mounts, and I mean, how much better can the day get? And I mean, it just kept getting better and better, and it just felt like I was making all the right moves, and I had the horse to help me with, and like I said, I put my horses in the good position to win, and they all capitalized on it. And man, what an amazing day that was, and one day I'll never forget. And I put my name in the history books along with Victor, so that was really cool.
You had another streak at Del Mar where you were riding all of the best 2-year-olds. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of come in the room and everyone's like, man, come on, Drayden, let us win one. Like, let us get all these nice 2-year-olds. Like, what the heck? I said, I don't know. I got on a good little roll. I think Baffert won, I don't know how many 2-year-olds he won. I think he went like 11 for 11 or 10 for 10 with first-time 2-year-olds. So that helped. And I got on a couple of nice 2-year-olds. Brill, she broke her maiden nice, and Instagram, and a few others. So, yeah, it was a really, really awesome meet, and for young horses as well, too.
Yeah, and for a young jockey like Drayden, it's been a magical year. And Drayden, we can't thank you enough for spending a little time with us here on the program this morning. Like all of our guests who appear on the show, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. They'll send that out to you. So we appreciate you being with us, my friend, and safe trip every time you get a leg up, and go get them.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, Drayden Van Dyke. You know, Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith has really taken Drayden under his wing, and they become very, very close, very good friends. And when you listen to Drayden in that interview, doesn't he sound a lot like Mike Smith?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you could almost be interviewing Mike Smith.
Yeah, it was just like Mike Smith playing in my head, you know?
Yeah.
Like, very, very cool. That's great.
Yeah, and let me tell you, if he conducts himself the way that Mike Smith conducts himself in his career, this kid, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can just see it when he rides.
Yeah.
The confidence level is ridiculous. I mean, he's just, you know, he's always in the zone.
Yeah, he's
when also is he not in the zone?
Red Brand Ambassador, by the way. And, of course, this program presented by Red Brand Fence. Hey, did you know that you can now choose or use your Amazon Alexa devices to listen to the Blood Horse Daily feature stories? Yeah, that's right. Blood Horse Daily has the latest racing, breeding, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay, videos, and more. It's free, and it's available via PDF email, phone app, and now available at Alexa devices as well. Visit bloodhorse.com/daily. We'll get to a break. We'll come back. That 30-minute interview with country music superstar Toby Keith. That's ahead. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
In the recent Blood Horse Market Watch study, Mill Ridge Sales ranked highest among percentage of runners by those offered at sale with 86%, including 64% winners, 8.3% stakes winners, and 18% stakes horses. Mill Ridge offers a quality consignment of athletes for the Keeneland September sale by leading stallions including Candy Ride, More Than Ready, Ghost Sapper, Bernardini, Honor Code, Uncle Mo, Cairo Prince, and more. Visit the Mill Ridge consignment in Barn 43. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Just one of several hit songs for iconic country music recording artist Toby Keith, Dreamwalkin'. The 1997 song and album by the same name was released by Toby that year, and it's a song that has become the name of his farm and his racing stable. Toby was in Lexington on September 2nd for a show at Rupp Arena, and he was nice enough to spend some time talking about his love of horse racing with me before that show. And we're going to bring you the full 30-minute interview. It's going to air in two parts for you here this morning. But first, I want to take a minute to just thank the gentlemen who helped to make that interview possible, starting with trainer Donnie Von Hemel, who I reached out to. He put me in touch with Toby's farm manager, Lyndon Branch, who put me in touch with Toby's road manager, Mitch. And the whole thing came together. They were all outstanding to work with, as was Toby. And I can't thank them enough for helping to make this interview possible and to organize things and set it all up. Well, Toby and I sat down on the couch in his bus just prior to the concert. Hope you enjoy. Country music superstar Toby Keith needs little introduction on the musical side of things, having tallied 20 number one hits along with 21 additional songs that have made their way into the top 10. But what you may not be as familiar with is the tremendous amount of success the Oklahoma native has had in horse racing since first getting into the business in the early 1990s. He now breeds and he races under his Dream Walkin' Farms and is kind enough to spend a little time with me here today. Toby, thanks so much for taking the time, my friend.
Glad to do it, bro.
Yeah, appreciate it. Let's start from the beginning, and let's start on the musical side of things. Your story, at least the early years, to me, is one of the great stories of persistence and determination and that unwavering will to succeed. Mm-hmm. Take me back. It wasn't always easy.
No, it wasn't as easy, but we worked in nightclubs in the southwest part of the U.S., Texas, Colorado, New Mexico, Oklahoma for 5 or 6 years, playing 5-6 nights a week, making about, now this was in late 80s, early 90s, so, you know, we're making $2,500 a week, splitting it between six guys, buying gas, paying for insurance, buying motel room. So you're really just sending about $280, $300 to the house every week, you know? And you got a family, and everybody's going, are you crazy? And then, fortunately, I got a recording contract with Mercury, and it was more blessed to even have, should have been a cowboy, be the first single, and it got the doors open. And as soon as I got things rolling, had a couple of hits, the label got in a fight. The president and the vice president. Vice president signed me. President had some other acts. They got in an argument over what artists they should pursue. And they busted up, and they sent the vice president to another label called Polydor. And he took me with him. Well, then they needed an album every year to hit their bottom line because all their acts were new acts except me. Then he retired, and I went to A&M. Then I came back to Mercury, and then that's when hell broke loose. I was back with the original guy that was fighting with my guy, and we were arguing over what music to release, and they turned an album down. And I went and bet my whole career on it. I said, either drop me or put this album out. And they dropped me. They didn't put the album out. So I did something that they said no one had ever done. I went back in and gave them a couple hundred grand, bought the album, went over, sold it to DreamWorks, and signed with DreamWorks. And it was How You Like Me Now album, and it sold 3.5 million, was album of the year.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history.
Yeah, you know, people might not realize that even before you went through that journey, that you weren't even in the music business. You were working in the oil fields.
Yeah.
Spent some time playing football, mm-hmm, right? Defensive mm-hmm. end, I guess, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about those years.
Well, when I was working in the oil field, the oil field crashed in 83, and I was just playing weekends, like with a bar band, just a garage band, and I was writing songs, and we were just playing, like getting $35 a piece to go in and free beer, play Friday night, Saturday night in the little bitty taverns, you know, and then work all week in the oil field. And in 83-84 the oil field busted and went completely bust, and I was like, I don't, other than the oil field and singing and writing songs, I don't really do much good. I don't really know what to go pursue, you know. And where do you start over at, you know? And I could weld a little bit, and I thought, you want to be a welder or what? And I thought, you know what? Let's give music. I do it good, so let's just, I write good songs and sing a little bit. Let's just go see what's out there. So we packed up. I got five guys that wanted to hit the road. We got a booking agent out of San Antonio, and he started booking us 5-6 nighters, and we just started hitting the bars and working a different town every week.
So where did the love of horse racing begin for you?
My dad would take me to the track, and he loved to go to the he loved to go to the racetrack, and his best friends growing up in a small town raised their own, were in the horse business. Their nephew was a trainer. And the oldest one, EJ, had some mares and would always have a little speedball going somewhere, you know. And they hung out with old man Von Hamon and Van Berg and Paul Smith, the Mo-Cats, man. So he would always have three or four new 2-year-olds come out every year, and so my dad would go watch their horses run, and he really enjoyed it. And I told him, I said, tell him to buy you a horse and I'll buy it for you. So he did. And they said, well, just buy half in the best one we've got this year. And they named it Jack Branch after EJ's dad. And the first start at Remington Park made a special weight win. Easy.
Wow.
And it made my dad so happy that I bought three or four more. And then bought a couple of mares and then built a farm and just kept. So from 97 on, I've been in it.
Yeah, and now you're playing at a very high level, winning a lot of races with your dream walking farm. Could you ever see yourself playing at this level when you first started out?
Well, I knew I'm very competitive. I knew once I got in it. I know that if you're breeding 100 mares, I get a bigger kick and a bigger thrill out of raising a good baby. You know what I mean? And, I mean, you got your mare, you create the breeding, you raise the baby, and then, you know, smack, smack goes out and makes $1 million. Reckless Jerry runs in all the big races at Oakland, you know. Cactus Ridge, undefeated two-year-old, and a stallion for 10 years. You know, the horses that I buy and run are exhilarating and fun, but there's always a special thing when you got a homebred. When they go, here's the trainer, here's the jockey, owned by and bred by. It's like, yeah, that's who did that.
Yeah, it means something special,
it
doesn't
does.
It?
It does. It really does.
Yeah, it kind of holds a little extra meaning.
And the horse business is a select few of people that do it, and it's a, for the most part, it's really, really good quality people that you want to run into at the track. You know, you meet, like, I deal with Nick Zito a lot.
Yeah.
He's salt of the earth, you know? And I know there's people in every business that, my business especially, there's a-holes everywhere. I try not to be one because we don't need another one. But so when I find guys like Zito and that, Jack Vanberg, the Von Hemels, people like that, I try to keep them in good stock.
Yeah, Nick Zito, one of my favorite people in the business, right or wrong?
Right.
Right?
No question.
No doubt about it. He's simply tremendous. Why dream walking?
It's a song, and about the time I built my farm, that song had been a hit, and it was the name of an album, and I just thought it made a great song I wrote called Dream Walking, and I thought, that's what you're really doing in the horse business is you're walking, you're dream walking, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to get there every day, and it's, I know a lot of people that have come and went, but if you stay through the low times, it's because you love it.
What do you like most about being in the horse business?
I like when it's at Remington Park, it's wintertime, I'm home, and I know four nights a week I got something to do. I like to go get in my suite, fire up the other tracks on the screen, maybe get the football game going on the screen, get a couple other tracks going, walk out on the deck, and watch them run. And it's just as exhilarating to win a $5,000 claimer as it is win a $100,000 stake. You know, when they're coming for home and they go to the front, that's it. To hear the hoofs pound coming down the lane, going down the paddock and watching them saddle, seeing how well a horse come back off of a layoff, watching a baby bloom. You know, you go 0-for-3 on a two-year-old and you miss a month while you're switching tracks, and all of a sudden somebody goes, This little two-year-old's turned into a three-year-old all of a sudden. He's put on 100 pounds and 150 pounds, and all of a sudden you're running at him again. So just the whole – I've had horses didn't win till they was 4 years old, and then they won four stakes. But I've had them go undefeated as a two-year-old, never won another race. So you never know. It's always like the weather. It's going to change. You know, if you keep winning and keep running, you're going to get beat. And if you keep losing and keep running, sometimes you'll get cheap enough and win.
It's funny you mentioned that feeling of watching your horse come down the stretch, and I've been involved with a couple of horses too, and there's nothing like that feeling of watching them cross the finish line first. And it, like you said, it doesn't matter if it's a stakes race or a $5,000 claimer. Man. In a little while, we're sitting here in your tour bus now. In a little while, you're going to walk on stage at Rupp Arena here in Lexington, and you're going to walk out to thousands of fans that love you. Any comparison between that feeling, that rush that you get when you walk on stage, and the rush that you get when your horse crosses the finish line?
I guess the rush you could compare it to is if you do a surprise appearance, you know, like Van Halen was playing one time. Sammy Hagar was with him, and he's an old friend of mine, and they were playing close to my house, and he said, you know I do, I love this bar, my song, I love this bar. He goes, you know I do that in the middle of the show acoustically, so won't you show up tonight in front of your hometown and walk out there while I'm doing it? And give me the old, this is not the way it goes, and then show me how it's done kind of thing. I said, okay, now you walk out there, that's a big explosion. You know, that's what we call a pop. And those kind of things might compare, but when you do a show every night like we do, it's just, you know what's first, you know what's last, you know what's next. And we just get out there and get it. But I think the reason horse, the comparison between a steak and a $5,000 clamber, it just happens to be the race that's in front of you, right? So, yeah, it's a $5,000 clamber winning, but it's a $5,000 race, right? Yeah. They're still running against his competition. So it's like watching a junior high basketball game, NBA game. You're still pulling for your team.
That's Toby Keith, first part of that interview, and looking forward to the second half, bringing you that second half here in just a couple of moments. And matter of fact, let's do that. Let's go ahead and get to this quick commercial break and make sure we have enough time for the second half of that interview. But Toby talking about that love of horse racing right here on the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade 1 winner Lee traveled the world competing against the best of his generation. A graded stakes winner on both dirt and turf, he set a new track record in the Grade 1 Don Handicap and retired with earnings of more than $2.3 million. Now his flashy first crop yearlings are turning heads with a striking resemblance to their internationally successful sire. The sky's the limit for this promising young stallion. Lee, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Stuart Morris offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation and would like to thank their owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you.
Henley's Joy gets up just in time.
And our Brain Trust gets up on the rail to win.
Malagasy to win the Rebel.
With 10 two-year-old winners already in 2018 and multiple stakes place horses over the past 3 years, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Be sure to visit the Stuart Morris consignment in barn 35 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
2 million 2, here we go. 2 million 1, 2 million 2, down to get in 1, 1, 2, 2, 2.5. Roger, nicely done. 2 million 1, thanks all three of you. Good luck to you.
Hip 899 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale was a colt by Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro. And what a flashy youngster he was, bringing a final bid of $2.1 million to top the Thursday session of the sale for consigner TaylorMade Sales and buyer Phoenix Thoroughbreds, making him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is the horse with the Midas touch. Having produced 21 career Grade 1 winners, including the brilliant Rachel Alexandra, Medaglia d'Oro is the leading sire by gross at the Keeneland September sale, now with $8 million yearlings in 2018, more than any other stallion this year. The only American stallions to have had more in a single year are Northern Dancer and Stormcat. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They come past the quarter pole. Three quarters, 1:10 and 2. They turn for home. Cactus Ridge in front. Down to the final furlong. Cactus Ridge holding on to the lead now. In front by three. Glitter Gem, Corbin Gold, Texas Deputy toward the rail. They're coming inside the final half of furlong. Cactus Ridge. It is Cactus Ridge, the son of Hennessy. Heads from Arlington undefeated.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was John Dooley with the call of the 2003 Arlington, Washington Futurity. Cactus Ridge, owned by country music superstar Toby Keith, capping off an undefeated two-year-old season. Toby talks about Cactus Ridge and some of his other top horses in this second half of the interview. Hope you enjoy. Toby, let me brag on you and Dreamwalking for just a minute and all the success you've had recently. The past 3 years, last year you finished ranked 23rd in North America by number of wins with 57. Don't know if you realize that or not.
I didn't know that.
In 2016, it was even better. You were ranked number 12 in North America with 81 wins. 2015 was pretty good, too. You were ranked 15th with 78 wins. In 2016, when you had that great year, ranked number 12, you're ahead of names like Windstar and Calumet and Micropoli, some of the most historic names we have on the ownership side. What's that mean?
Well, you just told me it didn't mean jack.
What's it mean now?
Well, it's nice to know, but that, like I said earlier, it's a tough business. I would say volume is probably what got us there, but I mean, I'd rather have 12 wins on that list and win a Breeders' Cup or something, but. I race so many homebreds that we're bound to win some of them. So I'm not patting myself on the back too much for it.
What's your operation look like now? How many brood bears? How many?
You know, I've got some really good guys, that friends of mine that love racing that are partnering with me now, and I never had any partners. And I pinhooked for a long time. And a lot of the horses, if you look back, the horses we pinhooked, a lot of them, you know, went on to win great big races, you know. I think 2 years ago I sold, I know the horse that ran last year, he ran in the Derby and he won the Oklahoma Derby.
Mm-hmm.
He
was a pin hook?
He's a trap shot.
Okay.
And I bought him, and I like to buy 10 or 12 and sell 4 or 5 and get a little cash off the table and then run the ones that maybe had baby problems or weren't quite ready to be, you know, two-year-old. They weren't very precocious, so. But it seemed like every time I sold some, they went on to be great horses, and the ones I kept weren't my homebreds. Always outrun them, so I finally just said, you know what? I'm gonna cut my broodmare band back. So I cut back about 80 broodmares in the last 3 years. I've weeded them down. I've kept my best 20-21 mares, and I'm leaving them over here in Kentucky. And then I've got about 10 or 15 at home, and a couple stallions there that I'm trying for Oaky Bread, and then I'm just going to race all my yearlings I buy. We're just going to make a run at them. We're going to say a little more Tiffany for a little while.
Yeah, there you go. Is it a little more fun for you to watch those horses grow up and race as opposed to breeding to sell?
Yeah, I never did breed and sell. I don't know. If you're going to sell, you got to sell them all, I think. You got to be willing, I think. I never found a perfect mixture of racing and breeding. You kind of end up kind of like the way I did in pinhooking. You end up racing the ones you got stuck with. And if you're going to breed and sell, you have to be willing to give your best one away, too. And I didn't want to make those decisions. It would kill me if I took my top stakes mare and bred her to Malibu Moon and sold it for $300,000 or $400,000 at one of the Kentucky Derby. It's really challenging business, and that's what I think. If you're smart about it and do the and it's your hobby and you don't look at it as a I don't make my living doing that, and so I keep it all in pretty good check.
Speaking of selling horses, you had a pretty good experience here last year at the Keeneland September sale with your daughter Crystal.
Yeah,
tell me a little bit about that story.
Well, she had some money that she wanted to invest. Her and her husband, they said. They said, we got some money we want to invest. And I said, well, I've got a really good mare. You buy a stud feed, and I'll foal share with you, and we'll just sell the baby. And we bought a, she bought a Bernardini, and I mated it to Cactus Ridge's sister, a Giant's Causeway, really nice, big colt, filly that was injured, and Giant's Causeway out of Double Park, which was Cactus Ridge's first dam, and everybody thought she was going to be a world beater, and I really like Giant's Causeway broodmares, and I said, let's give this a run. So they bred Bernardini, had a really nice colt, and somebody gave a lot of money for it. I don't remember how much it was, $200,000 or $300,000 or something.
But I think it was $255,000.
Yeah, $255,000.
Yeah.
So she basically, her first horse deal was successful, so I got a hook in her now.
Is she working with you now?
No. But she got excited. And then she bought another one the same year, and I had a little speedball named Seeking Miss Shelley that ran down at New Orleans and ran Louisiana for Joe Duhon about 6 years. Won some stakes and was just a burner. Just could get it. And always had stomach problems. I think she only had 24 starts in 5-year career. And hit the board like 19 times and won a bunch of stakes and just could, if she got out on front, they couldn't catch her. So I bred her to Malibu Moon. We had a colt, and he had a few problems in his front end. And so you knew they was going to pick him apart to sell. So I said, sell the good one, make your money, get it all off, get your money off the board, and then we'll run this one, you'll have a horse. So she does have a horse to race. She's got a nice Malibu Moon colt.
You think she'll be as into it as you are?
No. But she'll enjoy it. It'd be something fun to do.
Especially if they keep winning.
Yeah. If I'd have bombed on her, she'd have been saying, I want my money back.
She probably would have. Toby Keith with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'd be remiss if we didn't spend a few minutes talking about Cactus Ridge, because he was so good to you. You mentioned earlier, undefeated as a juvenile, a perfect 4-for-4, one of the favorites for the Breeders' Cup juvenile, and then he ends up getting hurt after a workout a week before the race.
Yeah.
You've experienced the highest highs and the lowest lows with that one horse alone.
Yeah, and he, you know, when he went by 15 at Canterbury and went to Ellis Park Juvenile, he won the juvenile at Canterbury, and we went to Ellis Park. All the Kentucky horses were coming in for that. And the program even discredited us. We showed up on my plane. We came in there to watch it. And they wouldn't let us in the – at Ellis Park, they wouldn't let us in the Silks Lounge because we had jeans on. And so I said, well, you know what? We'll just go down to the beer tent by the Winner's Circle.
That works.
And they said, okay. So even being a celebrity and even having one of the top horses in there that won his – won the juvenile previous by 15 lengths, they were just gonna look down their nose at us. So I said, let's just all go hang out at the beer tent. Then I looked at the program, and it said, disregard his last out is against weaker foes. And I was going, okay. Well, then he goes under a hand ride and may have broke the track record or something there. He blows them away. So they all come down, bring the press down, and they're all saying, come up. We're going to have a big drink with all the owners. I go, we got jeans on. Tell them come to the beer tent.
Well played.
So then he goes to, let's see, he broke his maiden at Arlington, win by 15 at Canterbury, win by about 6 or something there at Ellis. Then he went back to Arlington and won the Washington Arlington Grade 3. And we were 4-for-4 and one of the favorites, I think Kuvy. We were going to go against Kuvy that year maybe.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And it was going to be a showdown between him and Kuvy, who could get that extra. Was it another 16th or an 8th or something?
Yeah.
We were going to have to run the Breeders' Cup. And they didn't think he could get a mile. And never changed leads, any 4 races, never in second place and never under the whip. And I was like, what are they going to do when they ask this horse finally? Because he could just get to the lead and wait on everybody and then just run off from them down the lane. I was like, how's he going to respond when they ask him for something? And then he broke down. It was really tragic. But Johnny T.L., my buddy Jones, Johnny Jones, he stood him over at his farm. We got over 100 mares to him, and Hot Cha-Cha made a million. And I think there was a filly named Portofino run 4th in the Breeders' Cup Turf.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood Hit might have been one of the fastest sprinters in North America, won 5 or 6 high-graded sprints. And then I had Seeking Miss Shelley. he was always his horses. He's one of those horses that his babies tried. He was hard to handle, and when you'd look at them, their eyes would they'd cut their eyes at you and stuff, and would stomp and kick, and a lot of them were hard to handle. They weren't very tame animals, and you could tell that his progeny had the same thing because they always, wherever level they fit, they always tried. And I've had dealt with other sires that I believed in and bred to, and none of them, you know. I always said, I had one sire, I said, they all run the same. They get out of the gate last and get worse, you know.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, his did. His he tried at every level. They were useful horses at whatever level they ran at.
You mentioned another name earlier, too, Smack Smack.
Yeah.
Who has been very good for you. I think he's, what, just shy of $1 million
yeah,
right
now?
Yeah,
he's like $40.
Yeah.
$40,000 or something?
Yeah, I think it's even less than that. It might even be $19,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's a little long in the tooth. I wanted to keep that mare. I bought that mare's, I bought his second dam over here for $35,000, and I bought it off of the big Canadian farm up there. And the people who they sent down here to sell it said it was their favorite mare, big old dapple gray mare, and she was in Fold of Whiskey Wisdom, and I think I gave $32,000 for her something, and they came over and thanked me. Said, we didn't want to sell this mare, and she was a with approval, and she was the only mare in the pedigree. She's only filly in the pedigree under her first dam. The other three were colts. She only had four babies, and two with approval male colt stakes winners. She's a with approval, made $45,000. And then maybe another colt by somebody else, another sire that was a stakes winner. So there's like two or three stakes winners out, four babies, and she's a full to two of these with approvals. And the pedigree, I loved it. And so, well, she red bagged and didn't have my Whiskey Wisdom. And then I came back and bred her 13, 14, 15 times. Well, when I bred her to Victor Gallup, that's one of the fillies I kept, and yeah, that's Smack Smack's mother.
Wow.
So the old gray mare showed up.
Yeah, she did okay.
Yeah.
She did okay. If Toby Keith can win one race, what is it?
Man, I don't think there's anything more prestigious than the Kentucky Derby. But if you want money, you got to go to Dubai. Everybody wants to win that for the cash, but I would certainly take the Derby. But Derby or the Breeders' Cups would be the race I'd want to win, I think.
If you could sing one song, what would it be?
Well, I say this because it was my first one. It should have been a cowboy. And because if it wouldn't have been, it should have been a cowboy, you might not have heard that next 50 song.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly right.
It kicked all the doors down. So,
with everything that you've been able to accomplish in the horse racing side of things, what are you most proud of?
Just that that we were able to, the time I put in to reading books, Dr. Bill Lockridge gave me his whole library before he passed away. Not his entire library, but all of his breeding books years ago. And he knew I was fascinated with reading pedigrees and understanding bloodlines. So I asked him a million questions. I guess he got tired of answering me. So he gave me a bunch of old books, and I went back and read every one of them, got on the internet, and I started to track. I thought, you know what? To have a great horse eye, you're going to have to be around horses every day. But to understand pedigrees and stuff, you can read. And I read for years and years and years and years. And if I went to college on it, I'd only went 4 years. I stayed on it for 12, 13 years. So I read and read and read and just kept wanting to know more about it. I was fascinated with it. And I think to be able to be a first-generation horse owner and breeder and have the kind of wins we had as a breeder and running homebreds mostly. There's people around the track that are my friends that come by and go, you just know when he shows up with his two-year-olds that in the next 6 months after we get here, you're going to have run against some good horses because he's going to breed some good horses, you know.
Take me inside your house for a minute. When I walk in, I'm sure we're going to see plenty of memorabilia on the musical side of things, yeah. But how about on the horse racing side? What am I going to see there?
Well, I've got a giant man cave, so most of my big horse stuff's in my man cave. But we keep all of the local stuff up in my suite at Remington Park. So I've got a lot of Smack Smack stuff up there. I've got a lot of Cactus Ridges stuff up there, stuff that other horse people walk in and visit my suite. they'll know from being, if they're Remington Park people, and run that circuit. You know, that Remington Park circuit's kind of Remington, Oakland, Prairie Meadows. That's kind of the three where everybody moves their horses. So that circuit right there, I kind of keep my Prairie Meadows, my Oakland, and my Remington Park stuff in there because those are the people that will drop by. And I actually have a horse run at Remington Park right now named Vanberg.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I named when Jack passed away. I happen to have
what
a horse.
What a tribute.
Yeah, I named it Vanberg. But, and I got another one called Me and Jack.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. How do you keep up with horse racing when you're on the road so much?
Equine Line.
You're supposed to say Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, I don't always have that on my plane, but I can always get Equine Line.
I know you got a busy schedule.
Thanks,
one
man.
More question, I'll let you go. What's the future hold now? What are the goals you're still looking to accomplish?
Well, like I said, I simplified the horse business, so we're going to go a little more. We're going to run at them a little more instead of breed as much. And in the music business, we're just status quo. We're just going to keep. I ride every year, and at the end of the year, I put albums together. It just turns out my stuff's still country, and they don't play country anymore. But but I'm not going to write the other stuff. So, but it's been a great 25 years, and like that, you're going to see tonight. It looks just like it would have 10 years ago when we get in there. So as long as that part's going, I'll be out here. And when it don't, I'll just spend more days at the Canlin sale.
All right, good job. Keep doing what you're doing, and thanks for taking the time.
Good job.
All right, that's Toby Keith. My thanks to Toby for spending time with me to talk about horse racing and some great stuff there. And Jude, how sharp is Toby Keith? We talk about guys like Shug McGahey that can roll through careers of personal ensign and they don't miss a beat. They go from her maiden win all the way through. Toby Keith, he starts talking about his horses and his breeding program and the pedigrees, and he just rattles through and just clicks them off. It's great.
Yeah, it's just the passion for the game. And you know, he loves that and he breathes it. And it was very interesting. That was a tremendous interview, and I really enjoyed it.
No, thanks. Yeah, he's, you know, and he made it easy. I mean, he loves talking about horse racing. As a matter of fact, my wife was there holding the recorder, and we only had 30 minutes to spend with him because he had to go do meet and greets and all that kind of stuff before the concert. So Michelle was giving me the, you know, the old 5 minutes, holding up five fingers, and then 3 minutes. And Toby was kind of waving her off. You know, he said, no, you know, we'll keep going, because he was having so much fun talking about horse racing. And you can see why. You mentioned the passion. It comes through.
Yeah, no question about it. And, he would have probably gone another hour and a half.
Yeah, and you know, there were so many questions I wanted to ask him. But you're right. You know, you say, okay, you get 30 minutes with somebody like that. That's a long time. But not for somebody of that stature, you know, and you can go on and, you know, so many other things you get into with him, you know.
Well, you mentioned the late Bill Lockridge
giving
him his library, and Bill was a fantastic guy. He was actually responsible for Mr. House and I getting Chestnut Farm. And it's amazing how the whole business comes together, and Bill could see in him that he loved the game, had the passion for it, and it's great to hear that somebody like him that can do pretty much anything they want.
Yep.
Takes their real joy in life from the thoroughbred business.
Yeah, and he'll be in town for the Keeneland sale over the next couple of days. At least he was expecting to be here if his schedule allowed it. He and his team will be here looking for the next superstar. And again, my thanks to Toby, to the entire team for making that interview possible. You can hear the entire interview commercial-free, uninterrupted, on our website, horseracingradio.net. You can do it on iTunes as well. Head back over there and check it out after the show this morning. Going to get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Welcome to Jimmy John's.
Hi, your new 9-grain wheat sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay, I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat yeah, freak yeah.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Philip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Philip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting Graded Stakes Place Philly, Safe to Say, and Stakes Place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Philip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Philip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 22nd for the 10th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store, six stakes races worth over $550,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer here in West Virginia. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic!
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Dolez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this Grade 1.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. And Empire Maker yearlings averaged $400,000 at the Basic Tipton Saratoga sale.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Our thanks to all of our special guests for taking the time to be with us this morning. Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine, was here in the first half of the program, along with Catherine Day Phillips, who joined me for that interview yesterday to talk about her horses coming up over the weekend. Drayton Van Dyke was with us, 9 o'clock Eastern, and then that two-part interview that you just heard with country music superstar Toby Keith. A very busy program. We hope you enjoyed it. And JT, we now turn our attention toward the road to the Breeders' Cup and 10 Breeders' Cup Challenge races on the docket over the course of the weekend. Going to be spectacular.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Got some good betting opportunities and big fields, so that's always good.
48 days, 2 hours, 26 minutes until the Breeders' Cup.
Well,
that's it.
It's like 2 hours closer than it was when we started the show.
Yes, it absolutely is. And of course, we can't, if you can't tell, we're pretty excited about Breeders' Cup. We'll be there all week long at Churchill Downs. We'll be bringing you exclusive radio coverage of so many of the big Breeders' Cup prep races coming up over the next 48 days. So make sure you visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete schedule and to check out the podcast of this show. And yeah, that entire interview with Toby Keith, uninterrupted, 30 minutes, posted on our website now. Head over there and check it out. Poll question today, if you could meet one celebrity involved with horse racing, who would it be? Bo Derek, with 37% of the vote, runs away with it at the end.
I would vote for Queen Elizabeth.
Ooh, good call. I like that. Good call. All right. Again, thanks for being with us here this morning. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. A tie with the Cleveland Browns. Ah, bring on the chefs. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.